Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So it's finally upon us.
Yes.
WrestleMania 33 is finally happening.
After a certain amount of time waiting, depending on how soon you started caring.
Sure. So WrestleMania 33, Ultimate Thrill Ride, whatever you want to call it, whatever they're calling it, with the literal roller coaster that is the set, which looks ridiculous.
It's stupid. It's so stupid.
It's not stupid. I think it's kind of impressive.
No.
Well, how is it stupid?
I don't.
So, you've also been like incredibly angry like the last month. Okay, so can we just address that first and just
I am aware of / acknowledge, we've talked about a lot, how like WrestleMania particularly isn't for you. You know, it's for casuals, it's for half times, it's for part timers, which is genuinely fine and I understand.
You're trying to cast the widest net on your biggest event. Fine.
Exactly. And in all honesty, 9 times out of 10, I am the easiest person to please when you want to do that. I am one of probably 8 people that is still like, Goldberg, yeah, let's do this. Let's go for it. Mm-hmm. But I just, we did this thing last year where we watched all 30 WrestleManias.
God, don't remind me.
And it was
a marathon.
It was a test of endurance. It was an experiment in overabundance. But one thing that kind of was a through line for the whole thing, from WrestleMania 2 onward almost, was this is it. This is the grandest stage. This is what every wrestler aims for and strives for. This is an ultimate goal.
Right.
And there is reverence to that, I guess. They take the time to, and especially when you do like 10 and 25 and these, you know, milestone ones.
Sure.
Where they, you know, show iconic moments from WrestleMania's past. There's, you know, several of them have intros that talk about the legacy of WrestleMania, what it's meant to people. And the roller coaster doesn't quite gel with that.
I mean,
and like, you know what? This is not a toga party. This is not WrestleMania Goes Hollywood.
Sure.
So like, as on the scale of egregious advertising things,
but it
we're not close to the worst.
I mean, we might roll our eyes every single time every single commentator, not just Michael Cole, but literally every single commentator says that catchphrase or tagline or whatever. But I mean, it's fitting. Like, Orlando is, you know, theme park city, so
yeah.
It's trying to find something to fit in with the local area.
I get that. And I don't begrudge them
just like
the
how,
idea
of
doing that.
Just how like how San Francisco is the home of the giant play buttons all over the place.
Well, WrestleMania is also their logo now is sunshine.
Yeah, and how Dallas is just the Cowboys with the giant stars all over the place.
I don't know. The fun aspect of wrestling has really been shoved down our throats for this WrestleMania with the Ultimate Thrill Ride.
Yeah.
And
it's fun because they tell us how fun it is. Doesn't that make that fun?
And
when they tell you that you're supposed to be having fun, why aren't you having fun, Joel?
Well, also, the New Day is also a big part of that, like the New Day hosting it.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of fun that we're going to have.
Yeah, so much fun. It's Flo Rida and Pitbull. Like, it's party music. How can you not have fun with Pitbull and Flo Rida? Flo Rida and Pitbull are going to be there. Aren't you having fun, Joel?
I realized, making the slideshow, I've just tricked all of my friends into coming over to my house for a Flo Rida and Pitbull concert.
Well,
disguised as WrestleMania.
Wasn't Flo Rida supposed to do a performance at last year's WrestleMania?
Was he? I don't remember.
And they scrapped it, like, last night, like, it never happened.
Because they ran out of time?
And then there was, I think, before SummerSlam, before TakeOver and everything, like, the night before, they were going to do, like, WWE's producing a Flo Rida concert at the Barclays Center, and they canceled it because no one gave a crap, and like no one bought tickets.
Maybe, I don't know.
So, I don't know. WWE really wants Flo Rida to be a thing, apparently, and I don't understand it.
Like, for some reason, Triple H has invested into it?
Yeah, like is... Flo Rida is the human embodiment of tout.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, apparently, like, they have a giant investment in this thing. Now it's a rapper. Well, I don't know if rapper... a music imitator? I don't know. Whatever you want to call him. I don't know. They got stock in him or something.
We do have a lot to get to because we have two different cards to go through.
Right. Real quick. So here's our 10 reasons why we're excited to see Flo Rida and Wanda.
Real quick. Is there anything from Raw or SmackDown this week that you need to talk about that isn't going to be covered in the card?
Good point. No, not really.
All right. So let's jump into the card because I think we can.
Well, first we need to jump into the NXT.
Yes,
card.
That's what I mean. We'll start with NXT.
That's what I mean.
Do you want to start with WrestleMania?
Why are you so snippy lately? Like, what happened to you, and why did you have an attitude now? We have an 8-person mixed tag team match. So hooray for that, I guess. Sanity versus Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong, No Way Jose, and newcomer Ruby Riott. Do you have anything to say to that hasn't been said in the last 2 months or how long it's been since this whole thing started with
honestly,
Ty Dillinger and them?
Like,
it's got people that I like.
This might be the first time I'm going into a takeover match where my response is, I don't care.
No, I don't care either.
Like, and I don't think that's ever happened before.
No.
Like, I've had things where I'm like, this is... been a lackluster storytelling that are, you know, but I still like, I like this guy for these reasons and I want to see him do well. These guys are going to bring it in the ring and I'm really looking forward to that.
This might be an unpopular decision, but I'm going to throw it out on the wall. Sanity sucks.
You think?
Sanity's like,
okay. Because
on the face team, I pretty much like everybody. Like I don't know anything about Ruby Riott.
Here's the thing. Why? Because I'm not necessarily going to disagree with you, but like, I like so much of Sanity, or at least the potential of Sanity.
Right. I don't know what they're...
Why are they so much less than the sum of their parts
as
a concept?
What's their purpose? Like, they never said why they want Ty Dillinger in their group, because that's what started this whole thing, was they wanted Ty Dillinger in their group.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I don't know what their purpose for existing is. I don't know what their goal in all this is.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where, like, they're so deep into it that they probably don't even realize why they got there in the first place. They're just there.
Yeah, but you know what? The Shield didn't really make sense either. And that worked.
Yeah, well, they put on classic matches.
They had...
Sanity, not so
they
much.
Had
now,
thing.
Nikki Cross, like, I enjoyed her involvement in the Fatal 4-Way in the last TakeOver. But the group as a whole, like I have yet to see anything in that group and anything that they've done that has impressed me or struck any sort of chord or stuck with me in any sort of way.
And I agree with you, but again, like it feels like there's potential there. I see talent there.
Sure.
Or at least I'll acknowledge talent there.
Maybe it's because I really never got into Borderlands. Maybe that's what it is.
Okay. Having also never gotten into Borderlands, I'm not sure I can be like, that's why I'm not getting
just
this.
Just say I'm right. That's all I have to do. That's all I gotta do.
I will never do that.
How dare you?
I will never do that.
Oh, I'm a wizard.
I'm gonna pick face team.
Yeah.
Titan
Dillinger actually wins a takeover match, but not on his own.
It's such a weird thing to be like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't like I've had takeover matches where I'm like, no, I don't. Bad call on.
Yeah.
This is like, I don't care. This apathy that I'm so used to giving towards the main card, it's weird to give it towards
like
an NXT
the
match.
NXT version of
especially
the Andre match, because it's like we want all these guys to be on takeover because they're big names, especially on the face side. So let's find a way to get all as much of them in a match as possible.
Yeah.
So, and debut Ruby Riott.
So,
which is, you know, whatever.
Sorry to feel that way.
and again, like, it, that's, it's upsetting because we like so many, especially like we like all the faces in that match.
Mm-hmm.
Sanity, I'm just kind of, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I know what Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong, and No Way Jose are capable of.
Yeah.
And I would like them to be in a better situation than this.
I get that.
But yeah, I'm going face team as well. Andrade Cien Almas versus the debut of Aleister Black.
I'll pick Aleister Black.
Yeah, because apparently Almas is the is in the Ty Dillinger role.
Yeah, NXT debuts. You are never stronger at NXT than the day you debut.
Yeah, yeah. Just and like for those that don't know, Aleister Black is the new name for Tommy End. Yeah. If you watch the UK
tournament,
he was the one that had the match with Neville.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of you guys are looking at your podcasting listening device like, yeah, we know, move on. Oh, but yeah, I'm Aleister Black. Now we have the triple threat elimination match for the tag team championships. Authors of Pain, DIY, and The Revival. I'm saying Authors of Pain probably retains.
Yeah. Okay, they are undefeated, right?
Yeah, still okay. Undefeated. I don't see that stopping. Or ceasing, or however you want to say
it. I would have said this would be a very good time to get the title off of them because of triple threat rules. But the elimination thing's interesting.
Yeah.
And is, like, has scared me because I was going to go, honestly, I was going to go DIY.
Yeah.
I was like, that would be a good kind of
one of these teams
hit point. I feel like they have another NXT title run in them before they move along.
Sure. Especially with the tag team division seemingly a little gutted right now.
Yeah.
Because it's really just those three teams. Now, they did debut Heavy Machinery on this most recent episode. And it's just two big dudes.
So Authors of Pain.
So the good guy off Authors of Pain, you know, yeah. Which means that they're, you know, white. God, WWE.
But they're the ones that are going to come in and take the titles off.
Well, yeah, because, you know, how are you not going to have the big guy face team against the big guy bad team?
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen. But no, they literally just debuted, so they're probably at least two takeovers away from that.
Yeah.
To say the least, depending on how they go. But I have a feeling that one of these teams are going to be moving up in the near future, and my money's on Revival.
Yeah.
I would think on SmackDown.
I hope on SmackDown.
Yeah, because they need a little bit more depth.
There is something we should talk about non-WrestleMania related. Was the Hardys are coming soon.
Yes.
And we touched on a little bit last
Apparently
week.
Apparently any day now.
Yes.
Safe bet is on Monday after WrestleMania. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, now that the tag team match, which we'll talk about later, is a ladder match, they're like, well, it's weird that they only have three teams in a ladder match at WrestleMania.
And who would do good in ladder matches?
It'll be
the only point of contention that I can find is disagreement over if Matt Hardy or TNA owns the broken character.
But didn't Matt Hardy announce last week that he filed copyright for it?
Yes. So he claims he has and has filed copyright for it.
Yeah.
Whatever claim TNA had on it was enough for them to not be Broken and Brother Nero at Ring of Honor.
Right.
And so...
For iPay-per-view.
Yes. However, I feel like, I gotta say, WWE's probably feels like they're paying top dollar for this internet sensation thing.
Sure.
And so they don't want old Matt Hardy back. Like, I cannot...
But how did they... I don't know. I don't know. Vince says, hey, Vince, he likes to kind of turn a blind eye to the stuff like that.
I understand.
He's they're nostalgic. Let's bring back them the way they were.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how it happens.
Yeah.
But I only brought that up to say, with that they've got to be starting to fill out this SmackDown tag team.
Yeah.
So Hardys and Revival, who I'm assuming is headed
and I
up
would say
than
that
later.
This would be a great way to finally get a Hardys versus the Wyatts, but what Wyatts?
Yep.
Just there's the lone Wyatt at this point.
He is not a good cult leader.
I mean, he gets kept it together for a couple years.
He kept it together for a couple of years.
I mean, that would be enough for like a couple seasons of The Following. So, I mean, and according to that show, that's about as long as any cult will last. I know that's a weird. It's a very specific reference.
You've managed to take a show that's not that like a 2-3 year old show, that's still an incredibly obscure reference.
Yeah. It was a 3-season show that's done.
It's like 3 seasons, which is not a bad run, with Kevin Bacon in it. And there's so many people being like, that doesn't, what? I've never heard of that.
Why are you referencing a TNT show right now? Yeah.
So, all right, next up.
First 2 seasons were really good. 3rd season. So now we got the NXT Women's Championship, Asuka versus Ember Moon. Asuka. No, I think this is how.
You think this is it?
This is the night.
I
joke about this. I've joked about this like 2 weeks ago or last week. Who really knows time? Time is irrelevant. I would not be surprised if Asuka would be like, "Nah, I'm ready to get rid of this championship now." Until you guys redesign this, I'm okay with losing it.
I think that Asuka is like New Day for me. Where like I'm just gonna pick her until she loses.
Sure, I mean
because. Yeah. Now, you know, if it's better than even money, I'll get more points than I'll lose.
Now, if this was being counted in our year-long card picks for the Trash Man Guitar guys, yeah, I probably would pick Asuka. But I feel like this will be a time to move her on up. And honestly, like out of everyone else on NXT, Ember Moon's probably the closest to believably beat her.
See, I
just from an in-ring standpoint, character-wise,
I have this weird feeling where I'm like, I think they might think that their women's division is too crowded on the main card.
Well, I mean, because a lot of people are like, oh, she needs to go to Raw because they're so thin. It's like they're not.
Well,
they just have they only use the same 3-4.
They do,
women.
And if they continue, part of the issue is, and we've talked about this in greater detail when we've really delved into the Revolution aspect of it all, they're still pretty much having one segment on a show. And so they have a lot more women, a lot more talented women, and they're trying to cram them all into one segment, which is why we have a fatal 4-way match at WrestleMania for Raw and a fatal everybody way match for SmackDown.
Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that's, you know, there's no reason why we shouldn't have 4, and that's like 4 women's matches is not a ton. That's 2 from each show that you should be able to do that easy. And no, instead.
But yeah, ultimately, everybody. Like Raw needs more women that WWE is comfortable in the top tier.
Yeah.
Like that rotation that we're always wanting, you know?
Well, and like.
So by that aspect, I'm okay with Asuka going to Raw, but I feel like she will.
See, but I think. I don't think I want Asuka up there at all. I wanted her to stay in NXT until stuff gets worked out. Because, like, Raw, Charlotte lost. Charlotte should be going after Dana Brooke now. You have that all set up. That should be the feud.
That should be what's next.
For Charlotte. And maybe that will happen post-WrestleMania, and I understand the thought process of keeping her in the title scene
and
for
then,
WrestleMania.
You know, there's whenever Emma's going to come back, which probably is never, but...
But this whole cramming Nia Jax into this already crowded triple threat.
Yeah.
Because...
And Asuka is that kind of wrestler where she's like that unstoppable force kind of wrestler. Mm-hmm. And you've already got that with Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You don't really have that as much on the SmackDown side.
Yeah.
So I would be interested in that. And honestly, like, even if this isn't the way Asuka leaves NXT, I feel like you've at least got a good enough heel with Billie Kay. Like, I feel like she's got enough momentum and that she can...
I think... I'm not saying NXT's thin.
No.
This is one of the places where they're not thin.
Done. And they've greatly improved since Bayley left.
But I don't see anybody clamoring for Asuka, so I'm not sure Asuka's getting called up anytime soon.
Yeah.
And if she's not getting called up, I'm thinking they're keeping the belt on her.
Okay. No, I definitely feel like...
And again, I could be totally wrong, because this could be a great time to put it on Ember Moon.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I feel like... Yeah, if they're not going to make a move on Asuka anytime soon, yeah, I agree with you. If they are, go ahead and get the belt off her and then have like a rematch in their next set of tapings, and that'll be it. And then after and beyond that, we've got the men's championship with Bobby Roode and Shinsuke Nakamura. I say Bobby
Roode. I assume Bobby Roode.
Bobby Roode retains with Nakamura coming up incredibly soon.
Yeah, I feel very different about Nakamura than I do about Asuka. I think, like, yeah, it's not quite any day now, but pretty much any day now.
Yeah, I will be greatly surprised if we finish WrestleMania weekend, which includes Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very surprised if we conclude that without any sort of Nakamura debut, to be honest with you. Probably he will be the big surprise on Raw.
I would not be. I would not be surprised by that so-called big surprise.
I still have, because now that it's aired, I can finally talk about it. The Loser Leaves NXT match with Cassie Sono and Drifter Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Elias Samson, Drifter Guy, lost. So he's out of NXT, which I feel like they're going to move him up for some reason. I don't know why they... honestly, he gets a lot of cheap heat.
Yeah.
He's a pretty good heat magnet. Just kind of not quite like Eva Marie was. Yeah. I was going to say is, but
was.
Apparently. Also, that came out this week. Apparently, she is done.
God, that is such a big bucket of non-news.
I know.
Like, I'm sorry. It is. Like, I completely forgot about it until you mentioned it just now.
How amazing would it be if during the SmackDown women's match, uh-huh, when everyone's making their entrance, her music hits and the voiceover dude's like, she has decided to leave the company, and then start the match.
I'd get a lol out of that.
That would be pretty damn amazing. So with all that out of the way,
how are you feeling about this takeover?
Not enthusiastic, to be honest with you. Like, you know, we touched on it a couple weeks ago. The main event especially feels so lackluster. Just not because of who's involved, but there's been zero build, and everything has been used from the build before the last takeover.
Right.
Like, all the images, all the confrontations, you know, all the sound bites were from the first, like, the initial feud before the
San Antonio. Their first match, yeah.
So that feels so lazy.
It is
on WWE's part.
Yeah,
because they haven't done much at all.
I feel like that this is the kind of thing where if it's presented to you in a text, you would respond back with a K.
Yeah, absolutely, and absolutely.
Just, like, and that sucks.
It doesn't even get a GIF.
And like I guess, like, I still have faith in them to be able to pull that out with like, TakeOver, because they...
The match is going to be perfectly fine.
Like, we've had meh, you know, going into and still, like, I never should have doubted feelings going out. So I expect that at this point.
I expect a really good, almost great show.
Mm-hmm.
But the build-up has been really painted by the numbers.
It has.
If you can say that, it also feels pretty black and white in some cases, too. Because I'm not really, like, there's not a whole lot of reason to be excited other than the fact that they haven't really steered us wrong so far.
Yeah.
In the execution of a takeover.
No, and this is, I will say this. We talk about long-term booking. We talk about not just long-term booking, but what is essentially a relationship between us, the viewers, the audience, and the show.
Yeah.
And NXT has built up a trust relationship over 2-3 years now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, you guys, you're not really doing it for me on this pay-per-view, but I trust you enough to, like, tune in with excitement into this show.
Yeah.
You know? It's something that I'm going to make a point to see still, because it's a takeover.
Yeah.
And I feel like there is a chance where... We had in the past takeovers show up the pay-per-view that was happening later that week.
Yeah.
And talking about, like, this is an issue for WWE. Mm-hmm. And rumblings of the backstage are like, this is an issue that the takeover shows are showing up the main show pay-per-views.
And how do they solve that long term? Move all those guys up.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing that's happening.
But I feel like There's a very good chance that this won't happen this time around.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, oh, that wrong was righted. The main show is a better show now. And that's not...
It's like, no, because you gutted NXT and took all their talent, and now you're claiming, like, oh, we did this, we fixed it. It's like, yeah, you did it by taking everyone there.
And the thing is, you still didn't fix it.
No.
Because I'm still willing to put my trust into NXT more than I am in Raw or SmackDown.
You're right.
Because they've, like, this brand has built up 2 to 3 years of trust for me.
Yeah.
So... You're on year one still, buddies.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So,
quick commentary note.
All right.
Mauro is still out.
Mm-hmm.
But we have our first official wink, wink, nudge, nudge at Tom Phillips, his whole infidelity situation from like a month ago.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, it was delivered by Corey Graves, and I thought it was amazing. It was on 205 Live, because it was just the two of them. Mm-hmm. Just like the good old NXT days.
Yes.
And Tom Phillips was talking about the Alicia Fox thing, because, like, they wouldn't shut up about it, even though Noam Dar was, like, injured, and neither he or Alicia Fox were anywhere near the ring. But, of course, they wanted to talk about it, because that's what was supposed to happen. And Tom Phillips says, oh, well, I'm sure Alicia Fox, blah, 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 blah. And Corey Graves is just like, how do you know that? How do you know that, Tom? What do? You slide into her DMs? And the camera was on them when he said that. And Tom Phillips didn't even let it rest for a second. And he was moving on to the next thing.
Yeah.
And it was just so funny how quickly he pivoted to something completely different.
Yeah, okay, like, so we need to talk about this card right now. So I'm pivoting to something completely different for the comedic effect. And that's where the comedy hits.
Give me the damn card. So stupid. All right, so...
Hilarious.
In the first of, like, 7 hours of WrestleMania, we've got kickoff show. And the kickoff show has probably... the best match of the whole freaking night. We're gonna start with the cruiserweight.
Okay,
the cruiserweight. James.
So one question about this real quick, because it's on the kickoff show.
Yeah.
Is it? This should be the match of the night.
It should be.
Just flat out should be.
It'll probably start the kickoff show.
This, in all honesty, should be a 25-minute. High-flying slash at the same time mat-based grappling masterpiece.
Sure. And they're going to get maybe half of the arena, if that.
Yes. And I'm like, how much time do you think they even get?
I feel like they're going to get a decent amount of time if they start them at like 5:30.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're probably going to they're gonna start the pre-show at 5. They're probably going to talk and, you know, slobber all over the card one more time. And then probably about 5:20, 5:30-ish, they'll probably have their first match, which is, I believe will be probably the Cruiserweight Championship.
I really hope they get a good amount of time.
Yeah, and I feel like, honestly, this is probably the best way to give them a decent amount of time. You know, because they're out on the actual show, which it all is the show.
Yeah.
Just start WrestleMania at 5, if that's what you want to do. Stop calling it the kickoff show.
They're just letting you know when they're going to sing America the Beautiful. That's all they're doing at this point.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to pause here so you all can use the bathroom while we have someone sing the America the Beautiful. And I know they have someone in there, and I know it's someone that Q's very excited for. I've never heard of them.
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. So as long as I'm not the only one. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember when, I think, Aretha Franklin did it.
She did it twice. Talking is fun. Both of them were in Detroit.
All right, there you go.
Glad I got that nugget out. But for the Cruiserweight Championship, I've got Austin Aries.
I got Austin Aries doing
okay,
this one.
Okay, cool. Here's the thing. This is the last pay-per-view for the Open Challenge for the Trashy guys. And I'm in third, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I've got more to lose here.
You do. I'm not going to make it this year.
Right.
So I have a couple of
times
I'm planning on throwing my head over the wall.
Right. You can go out on some limbs here.
You just pull up the Vegas odds and check the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, I was, you know what? Like, I feel like I've gotten myself this far. Like, I should trust myself from this point on, which is probably my biggest mistake I could possibly make is trusting myself.
Having been in your shoes last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just surprised I'm in the running because I believe I did not pick Royal Rumble right. And I felt like, and I feel like that's kind of like the death nail if you don't get the Rumble right.
That's what dropped me from first to fifth.
Right, exactly. So, I feel like that's the ultimate, like, death nail. But I didn't get it right. And somehow I think I just had an amazing fast lane.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. So, we're both saying Austin Aries. Andre the Giant battle.
Royal. Is there any point in not picking Baron Corbin? Not Baron Corbin.
Dugan Stugan?
Yeah, Dugan Stugan. What's his real name?
I want to say, like, we come up with a different name for him every week, multiple times in an episode. Why are you struggling to figure out what...
I was going to say his real name, and I can't think of it. Braun Strowman.
Strobroman. Yes. No, because that's absolutely who I was going to pick.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the definite favorite. The only other person, honestly, that I could...
I could see it being Sami Zayn.
Right.
My jaw won't hit the floor if it's Sami Zayn.
I mean, I would. Just be like, they actually let Sami Zayn win something big like that?
Well, it's not big. It's on the... like.
But you know what I mean.
I understand what you mean. Like, but... They're just going to give it to their big guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was Big Show, Baron Corbin, Bog Stoopman.
Yeah.
Like,
it's absolutely going to go to Herb Dickman. So, moving right along to that. I mean, again, like, it sucks that it's on the kickoff show, but it feels a little bit more fitting on that because they used to do, like, the big battle royal before they had a name for it.
Right.
On as the dark match. So, I'm okay with it, but I would still like to, you know, I'm still interested in seeing it because, you know, you never know if they're going to throw out some surprises.
Right.
Probably not now that, you know, it's on the kickoff show. And they've pretty much announced exactly who the entire 30-man field is going to be.
Yeah.
So.
No Shaq.
No Shaq, but are we really complaining about that?
Not a complaint, just a comment.
No, you're right. Now we have the women's championship, the SmackDown Women's Championship match, which is everybody, apparently. And
and including Naomi.
Right. Who came back on SmackDown
this
past week. Two things. First off, don't you think you should have saved that as a surprise for WrestleMania? Unless they've got other surprises up their sleeve.
Yeah, like, I just... Okay, I understand wanting to go ahead and show your hand for WrestleMania to get people to tune in, to sign on, to pay for it, whatever.
I'm sorry. I know it's her hometown and everything, but do you really think Naomi was the tipping point?
And that's what I'm building up to. That's what I'm building up to is like...
I enjoy her. I think she's incredible.
I'm very happy she's back.
Yes.
But I cannot fathom...
No, I can't believe she's the ultimate
tipping point. Unless it's like...
Got to get that local crowd.
Yeah, unless, like, Naomi's grandma was going to be like, never mind. And they're like, we need that $9.99.
Right.
From Grandma Naomi.
Second point I'm going to make, and honestly, it's the biggest reason why I'm upset they're on the kickoff show. And that is, you're going to make Naomi do her amazing brand new entrance in broad daylight.
That is a solid point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's no, like, weird... seeing Taker do his entrance in broad daylight, but her entire entrance is kind of built on being on a, you know, in a dark arena.
Yeah.
With all the lights and all the glow and everything. Like, come on.
Maybe they'll do something different. I don't know.
I don't either. I don't think they're going to do anything different, but it's just that.
Not for a pre-show match that 12 people are in. They got to do 12 entrances. She'll be lucky just to get her own entrance.
She's getting her own entrance.
All right.
It's the one entrance that everyone enjoys watching.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's going
to... All right. Do you think they're all getting their own entrance? I mean, it's possible because it is A, on the kickoff show, and B, WrestleMania.
I feel like the Cruiserweight is going to go probably about 5:30-ish. Around 6 o'clock, 6:15, you're going to get the women's match. And you might as well give them their entrance because what else are you going to do? They're going to slobber all over the card.
They're going to talk about
like
card.
The second time.
Somebody
between those matches.
Somebody has to describe exactly why this is fantasy warfare.
Come to life. Don't forget that
come
part.
To life. I'm sorry.
If it's just fantasy warfare, who cares?
He's actually watching Lord of the Rings in the back. He doesn't want to watch the pre-show.
Right? Exactly. So you got to go through the entire card again. So then you start the second match, which you might as well have everybody's entrance. And then after that, do the Andre, which sounds like a weird dance.
It does. I was going to say, do the Andre.
Do the Andre. Anybody want a peanut? Do the Andre. Q, I want you to isolate that audio of me talking, you know, doing the Andre, and I want you to make a number one hit single out of that. And this will be a test if you actually listen to our podcast.
Boo.
Love you, buddy. And you can also throw in Joel's booze if you need like a nice like bass kick.
A nice hook.
Yeah. So you know, and then with the Andre, yeah, you can have pretty much everybody come out en masse,
mm-hmm.
like they normally do. Have the dumb WrestleMania theme Pitbull music playing, and then do like a couple of entrances of your big guys. Probably Strowman's going to get his own. Big Show's going to get his own.
Yeah,
Sheamus and Cesaro might get his. I don't know. You know, but oh no, never mind. No, they're in the ladder match. Never mind. So that's probably how that's going to go. As far as the women's championship match is, they still haven't announced if it's elimination or if it's one fall. I am afraid that it's probably going to be one fall.
That smells like a one fall.
You know who, last time they did like this ridiculous large Divas match to one fall for the championship?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who tapped out to end the match? We know AJ won.
AJ won.
You know who tapped?
Did Naomi tap?
Yep, sure did.
Wow.
And apparently Naomi like was actually tapping, but AJ was supposed to be like making her tap with mm-hmm. the other hand, but the ref couldn't see that AJ was making her tap.
Right.
Like, literally was moving her arm up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Naomi like actually tapped with the other free hand.
Yeah.
Ruined that spot. But you know, whatever. But you want everybody to, you know, be happy. So I'm saying hometown girl wins.
I say Naomi wins.
Naomi. It would be hilarious, though, if Eva Marie did come back and get a roll-up win. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I will say, like, I was going to pick Naomi either way because, again, I'm in a desperate position of throwing my hat over the wall.
I mean, I don't feel like it's a... I don't feel like it's...
I would not... If I was in your shoes, I would not have picked her to win. I would not have taken the chance. If she had not come on SmackDown.
Now that she's on SmackDown,
now that she's on SmackDown, no, that's the way to go. That's the way I would recommend it.
Fair enough. If she had not been.
If she had not been, I still would have picked Naomi, but I would have recommended you
like,
go with somebody safer.
Like Becky or something?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. But yeah, I'm saying Naomi.
Yeah.
After they stripped her title off of her.
Yeah.
For
now,
injury.
Now that's the way to go.
So we're going to get to the actual show. We'll start with the hottest feud going on in WWE today, and that is John Cena and Nikki versus Miz and Maryse. Just based off of that promo at SmackDown, like honestly, that was the only segment worth watching on SmackDown this week.
Yeah,
because man, John Cena brought the heat.
John Cena did, as John Cena is able to do.
Right.
Like when the going gets tough, the John Cena gets talking.
When the I want to say something that will get us an explicit tag, but it's just John Cena said it, so that means it's okay, right? When the going gets tough, called Miz a pussy. Bleep it out if you want. I don't care.
Here's the kicker for that.
Okay.
For me. So that all happens, and then they end the segment with Nikki talking.
Yeah.
And it's just
it was one of those things where, like, this would be a perfect segment if they just ended it here.
Yeah.
And then he handed the mic to Nikki.
And there was a little bit of, like, when John Cena was, talking about how great the Women's Revolution was, and you're like, yeah, two women wrestlers who both are record diva holders.
Yeah.
You know, being there, standing there silently while John Cena talks about how great the Women's Revolution is. And so you're like, okay.
Well, don't you know John Cena started the Women's Revolution, right? By proxy of dating Nikki.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of like, okay, I'm going to just like give him credit for good intentions and not and just watch over this awkwardness. But then, like,
John Cena's just not—he's not fully aware of the strength of his own privilege.
But then, like, as soon as he gave it to Nikki, and it's like,
yeah,
we're gonna win with my brain and your strength, and I'm also here.
I think it probably would have been better if he had Nikki had say something before him, and then he comes in with with the
spit and fire,
the high heat. Yeah, I'll agree with you. That was like, okay, we were like, because the videos for the second week were on point, ended great. Like, I loved the transition where Miz just like looked directly in the camera and in the videos, and you know, got serious. And then John Cena came out, also like, I you know, cut an amazing promo, probably one of the best he's ever done.
Yeah.
If we just ended it there. Yeah, I agree with you. But as for the match, who will have, or which will have a guest ring announcer.
Which means Chris is very confident in his bold prediction.
Yeah, no, God, yeah. Oh, man, you, okay. Because if there was a match that gets featured on the Today Show the morning after, it's going to be the one with Al freaking Roker. Yeah. As the ring announcer, for one. And B, John Cena's like basically one of the main hosts now.
Here's my question. So, The Miz, his main complaint, more or less, is everything John Cena does is focused on promoting the John Cena brand.
Yeah.
John Cena is not genuine. John Cena is not real or humble or true. John Cena is only focused on promoting the brand of John Cena and isn't proposing at WrestleMania in front of thousands of fans plus Al Roker after having won a match the check mark yes please may I have another confirmation that everything Miz says is 100% true.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what else you want me to say. It's absolutely, like, Miz is 100% spot on. They're doing it because it's a good spot. And honestly, the least believable thing about this whole entire feud is John Cena trying to sell being in love. Because, man, he makes it look awkward.
Yeah.
He makes it look real awkward. Like, Miz is on point with, you know, how robotic he is with acknowledging his love life, to be honest with you. He seems so uncomfortable.
You know what? I don't even want to be like, he doesn't love her. Like, this isn't the forum to like dissect into like.
But showing it on camera is something he's clearly not comfortable with.
Yeah.
But no, I don't feel like there's any. Like, first of all, there's no way in the world Cena and Nikki are losing. Cena and Nikki are absolutely winning this match.
I think that's 100%.
Unless Miz comes out, distracts the ref, kicks John in the nuts, pins him 1-2-3, and licks Nikki and walks away.
Like, yeah, this is not one of the matches I choose to throw my head over the wall with.
No,
I'm going with the safety vote.
Yeah. Cena, Nikki, absolutely winning. Cena gets down on one knee and in the most robotic delivery that you'll ever hear, he'll ask Nikki to marry him. And if you spot a single moment where John Cena looks like he's choking up a little bit, no, that's just him throwing up at his mouth, because we all know he doesn't want to get married to anybody. And okay. This ultimately will lead to, like, first of all, it's not going to lead to a wedding segment on a wrestling show. It's going to lead to a special wedding episode of Total Bellas.
I was like, this is going to make a killer Total Bellas episode.
No, it's not. It's going to be your generic wedding episode that you've seen on every.
No. But I'm saying, like, this is going to be their high spot. Like,
sure. No, it'll be a season finale for them.
Here's my big question, though. So we're not gonna make place bets on if the proposal is going to happen or not. Mm-hmm. Does John Cena, in his proposal speech, because he's going to have to say some speech beforehand.
Nah.
It's not just going to be a knee down, will you marry me kind of thing. He's going to need to take a mic and he's going to need to say something.
He's going to be.
Is he or is he not going to use any combination of the words hustle, loyalty, and respect in his proposal speech.
No, he won't. He'll do one thing better than that. He will be like, I know this isn't really my thing. I know I've resisted this for a very long time, but this seems to be the right place. WrestleMania is the place to be. I'm the man to beat. Gets down on one knee, opens up the ring box, and like, you want some? Come get some. If he does not propose with the lines, if you want some, come get some, I am going to riot.
That is the thing that'll make this okay.
But he, but he will say it with his usual ferocity. Like, come get some. If you want some, come get some. Yeah.
And then he opens the box and the trumpets play.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And it will be, the engagement ring will be one of those tacky WWE championship rings that you buy at a WWE shop.
So when they go back, all right, so she says yes, and then they leave. Do they play John Cena's music? Do they play Nikki Bella's music? Or do they play some Here Comes the Bride variation?
Out of those three.
Or, you know what, bring up your own proposal.
No. Out of those three, which is the most recognizable and the one that makes Vince McMahon's heart aflutter the most?
John Cena.
There's your answer. Of course they're going to walk out to John Cena's music. If in the off chance they actually do have a special episode of Raw or SmackDown or whatever with their wedding.
Uh-huh.
The only music that will be played will be John Cena's music. No Here Comes the Bride. Not even Nikki Bella's music when she comes out. It will be John Cena's music.
All right.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right, let's go to the next match on the card.
Oh, right, there's other stuff going
on. We might have spent more time on this nonsense than they will.
I honestly, I did not think of the, if you want some, come get some, until we started talking about this. I'm really proud of that. Next, we have the Triple H versus Seth Rollins match. I'm guessing
Seth Rollins is the
no DQ, no bar holding. I have a feeling we're going to get some shenanigans here. Well, clearly.
Well, yeah.
This is where you're going to get Samoa Joe, because he's not been announced for any other match. He's not announced for the Andre.
Right.
Samoa Joe will come out for this. I feel like Seth is going to have some sort of equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's how Finn Balor comes out.
That makes sense to me. I've seen that floated around.
Yeah. But as far as, you know, winning the match, I would say Seth.
I think Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been 2 years waiting for this.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, like, I don't see this going any other way.
No, me neither.
Also, Triple H doesn't win at WrestleMania anymore.
No, not anymore.
Unless it's against Sting.
He loves being in the main event or being in a top tier match, but winning, not so much. Not lately. Next, we got the Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens, you know, United States Championship match. I'm going Kevin Owens on this.
I was
going
to go Kevin Owens, too.
Yeah.
And that was one of my, like, riskier choices.
I don't think it's that risky of a choice.
It's not crazy, because I know Chris Jericho is the one that will put over the new guy.
Right, except for last year.
Which is weird, because...
Yeah, which is weird.
Didn't mind Fandango winning.
But I also feel like Jericho is towards the end of his, like, he's been going for a year and a half, or a year and 3 months or so. And so I feel like he's probably going to be wrapping up with WWE, at least this time, you know, pretty soon. So at least have this match and then maybe do one more pay-per-view for the blow off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and I got Kevin Owens winning.
Yeah.
Okay. Next we got the Fatal Four Way. Bailey.
Which one?
Sorry. There's only one Fatal Four Way. Yeah.
Is there?
There's only one Fatal Four Way.
All right. I believe you.
You jerk. Making me doubt myself.
There are so many multi man matches on this card.
Yeah, you're right. We got Bailey, Charlotte, Sasha Banks, Nia Jax.
I'm going to pick Sasha Banks. Like,
we're going to have an identical. We're going to have an identical card.
I guarantee you we will not.
Okay.
Just you wait, Henry Higgins. I guarantee you.
Who's Henry Higgins?
It's a My Fair Lady reference.
You're making My Fair Lady. You're on a wrestling podcast.
Oh my God. There's one other guy that's like, ha ha.
And you were making fun of me for singing Book of Mormon when you were getting set up. You nerd.
I sang along.
Yeah, and then you called me a nerd or an idiot or something. I don't know.
Nerd.
Something...
Nerd.
Okay, something degrading you called me. So, how dare you? Yeah, I'm saying Sasha as well. A lot of people are saying this is where Sasha Banks turns heel on Bayley. But they've been saying that for like the last 2-3 months.
It'll happen. Don't rush it.
Nah, me either.
It'll happen in its own good time.
It's an elimination match, so I feel like it's probably going to come down to... well, it might actually come down to Bayley and... Or Charlotte and Sasha. I feel like Sasha would probably cause Bayley to be eliminated.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how she turns heel, if that's the way they go. Otherwise, this should have been Bayley versus Sasha Banks to begin with. Mm-hmm. So might as well just end
so
up
I'd
that
like
way.
To see that for a bit. Oh,
because ultimately, I'm thinking, you know, like what you mentioned earlier, I'm feeling like Dana Brooke is probably going to cause Charlotte the match and then start a program with them too. So they have another female storyline on Raw that's not the championship.
That sure would be nice, wouldn't it?
Would be nice. And, you know, might as well be the one... Might as well do that with the one woman that you've been building up for the entire year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're both saying Sasha Banks on that. We have the match that probably should be on the kickoff. That's Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin for the Intercontinental Championship. Neither was on SmackDown this week. On Talking Smack. Only a very stupid segment.
This is the most disappointing match to me. Because
it should be like a street fight.
So, the other day, maybe about 2 or 3 days ago, I had the network on in the background. And the WrestleMania 28 was on. And so I kind of got to thinking about like the whole passing the torch aspect of it.
Right.
Where we had Hogan pass the torch to Rock, Rock pass the torch to Cena, and Cena will pass the torch to somebody else in the future. We're all assuming Roman.
Probably.
And I was thinking about like, I don't want Roman. Nobody wants Roman. I don't think they're ever going to get me to want Roman. And I was thinking about like, who would I want it to be? And it really comes down to Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
And it comes down to Dean Ambrose. Because you're going to get that similar setup of you say you're here, but you're a part-timer. You're taking away time that, you know, as full-timers. And Dean Ambrose is the one that I want to see saying that to Cena. Dean Ambrose is the one that can go toe-to-toe
with
Cena.
He was the guy that they originally were building SmackDown around.
Yeah. The way that Cena was able to, on the mic, hold his own against The Rock, something that's basically impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose is able to do the same thing to Cena and cause Cena to come back at him rather than just dismiss him with fine speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so acknowledging that is just like made me all the more bummed out that like Dean Ambrose is in this.
Yeah.
This is the most, like, I don't have anything for this match.
No, me neither. And again, like you said, like, this should be the street fight that we were supposed to have gotten between Dean and Brock last year. We're still not getting it this year. We just got that one backstage segment where, you know, Baron Corbin awkwardly squished him up against the forklift.
It is very possible this match will end up not happening.
Yeah, now, looking on the entire card... And if there was one match that no one really seems
that gets cut,
give a crap about, or gets put on the kickoff show, it would be this match. Just because there just seems to be, it seems like WWE themselves aren't even interested in it. This should be. If you switch this match with any of the matches on the kickoff, I would be happy.
Yeah,
it should be on the kickoff, and it's a shame that I feel that way about a Dean Ambrose match on WrestleMania because he, you know, he had a great year. To be honest with you,
he did. He was champion. He was a good champion.
Yeah, and I don't know.
He felt like a world champion, which like him and Kevin Owens holding the championships this year, and AJ Styles too.
Yeah,
but like it was kind of the first time in a very long time where it felt like this was an actual champion, not a guy holding the title so that John Cena could come take it later.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm saying Dean wins.
I'll say Dean wins.
I know they're big behind Baron, but I don't think I don't think he's there yet. Next we got the ladder match for the Raw Tag Team Championship. Got Gallows, Anderson, Enzo, and Cass, and Sheamus and Cesaro. I'm saying Enzo and Big Cass.
Okay, I was gonna go Sheamus and Cesaro.
No, I think this is the moment that they want for Enzo and Big Cass.
Yeah,
because they're still incredibly over on them. Even though honestly they've kind of been a little stale this last month or so.
They have. I think they're coming out first.
Oh, absolutely.
I think there's nobody's going to be surprised about that. And I do think this is a match where any one of them could conceivably win.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. Like, as much as I complain about the thinness of the tag team scene, it is very nice to be able to look at that and be like, any one of these teams win, I will not be surprised. They have managed to put them all on equal footing with one another.
Right.
And so for that, I will give genuine kudos.
Yeah. No, you're right. But yeah, now like I said, I feel like this is, you know, the big moment for Enzo and Cass.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's probably the reason why they didn't win it at Fastlane.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly, like, they can't really hold a candle to either of the other teams as far as work rate or whatever.
Right.
But have them win a ladder match, like, you know, you can make that believable. You know, not quite as bad as, you know, a tables match, but in that same vein, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
So I feel like that's probably the likely scenario. A lot of people are saying that's, you know, like we said earlier, this is where the Hardys will come back and inject themselves.
Right.
Even that, if that's the case, I still feel like the best bet would be Enzo and Cass for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and you were saying Sheamus and Cesaro.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, you're saying the championships.
I think the championships are changing hands.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next we got AJ versus Shane. I'm saying AJ wins.
AJ wins.
Yeah.
Shane is not there to win matches.
No. Shane is to fall off things, which is weird that this is a regular up and down match. I feel like they're going to change that between now and then.
I feel like I missed an episode of SmackDown. Like, the development for this story came, like...
Well, I mean, like, it was a little bit of a slow build with AJ being frustrated with everything.
Yeah, like, I get it, and
always,
I see...
always channeling that anger towards Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... They didn't really pull the trigger on it until, like, 3 weeks before the...
It just... And it feels kind of like... There we go.
Sure. Yeah. It escalated quickly.
Yeah.
It's like... one week, they were arguing backstage after a match. The next week, Shane was a bloody mess.
Right.
You know? So, no, it definitely escalated quickly. But it is weird that Shane's a regular straight up and down
match.
It is
weird.
So, by that aspect, yeah, Shane doesn't have a chance. We're going to see those crappy rabbit punches a lot.
Yeah.
So, get ready. Next, we're going to have... Oh, everybody's favorite match. Undertaker versus Roman Reigns.
Which way are you going on
Roman
this?
Reigns. Roman winning. Reigns? Yeah, okay. Roman Reigns is winning.
All right, I'm picking Roman Reigns for this one.
Is this, and then like this is the really big question, is this Undertaker's last match?
Where's WrestleMania next year?
New Orleans. And I know
where did the streak end?
It's New Orleans.
That's a...
But there's also reports that the more and more they see how Undertaker struggling to get around more and more than he used to... The feeling is growingly becoming that this is going to be it for him.
And that...
For his health and well-being, this should be the end.
I think it should be. I think that's the right call. I will say, looking back on the past several years, the time that I was most like, oh, he needs to stop now, was WrestleMania 27.
Yeah. No, you're
and
right.
He came back from that. He took a straight year off.
Yeah.
And then came back from that and put on one of his... better matches.
Sure.
Like in his, you know, echelon of streak matches.
28 and 29 were really good years for him.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to say he can't take a solid year off and then have a one last ride.
That's the thing. He hasn't. He hasn't taken a solid year off the past 2 years, which is fine. You know, he took a solid year off between 30 and 31.
Mm-hmm.
So much so he didn't even show up to do promos for 31.
Right.
But then these last couple years, he hasn't taken a full year off. I mean, granted, more so than the year before when he had, you know,
between 31 and 32,
that's the most we had seen him in a while.
Yeah, he had a full program with Brock, and just coming back and then doing the Rumble, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
but still,
yeah.
But I surely if not this year,
it has to be next year.
So surely next year is Cena and Undertaker. You would think.
I would think, but you
know. But then we thought that was a given for this year.
Yeah, it's like I've been
until John Cena up and decided that he wanted to get his marriage booked by Vince.
Yeah. Basically, it's like, fool me once, shame on me, fool me, what, nine times now? Or I'm like, it's got to be Cena next year.
No, it's become, whenever we do our year ahead of time prediction,
that's the safe thing to do.
It's becoming my CM Punk Stone Cold match. Yeah. You know? And like, it's like, well, of course they're going to do it next year. If they don't do it next year, then they have to do it the year after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines. But Roman's winning.
Oh, okay.
And everyone's going to hate it. Do they go full heel with him? Because I want to bring up, while you're thinking about that, I want to bring up something that hit the internet a couple days ago, and it was an interview that Triple H gave,
mm-hmm.
Where someone was asking him about Roman Reigns, and he was like, well, a lot of people are booing him. Maybe we just changed the way we portray heels, and he's been a heel this entire time. And I'm like, no.
You nerd.
No, that is the ultimate cop-out, mm-hmm. you know? That, like, that's because we intended for that to happen. No, it wasn't. You tried to make this guy a white meat baby face from day one, and it hasn't worked from day one, and now you're taking credit for it. Because, mm-hmm. no, that's how we were portraying him as a heel. No. You had that dude say suffer and succotash. Heels don't say suffer and succotash, and they, you know, apparently belittle other people by, you know, tater tots or whatever.
I will say a couple of things. One, no, you didn't intend that.
No, not at all.
To pretend you intend that is disingenuous.
Yeah.
Two, you know what? I will buy. Somebody posted a armchair booking, and I'm completely ripping this off of this Reddit post.
Sure.
But that's only because I can't get away with it because it got to the front page. Somebody said, you know what? Vince should manage Roman Reigns. Vince should come out
right, and
say, this is the guy. This is my guy. And he rolls through everything. Everything that we know is happening, that just, you know, they bring it to the forefront.
Sure.
Or Vince says, oh, look at this guy. Look how good he is. Aren't those muscles awesome? You should buy a t-shirt.
Right.
And you know what? That you can, if you did that, you fundamentally wouldn't change Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
He would still be Superman powerful. He wouldn't win by cheating. He would just be the company favorite and gross because of that, the way he is already. And you can say, and that's how we're making him a heel. And that in that case, I'm like, yeah, that's a heel.
Fine.
So the thing Triple H is saying that this is how we're portraying a heel, I can buy that. A heel doesn't have to necessarily be snarky and mean and cheating and like I'm willing to entertain the notion that there's a different type of heel and we can do a heel this way.
Mm-hmm.
Do I see them turning Roman full heel? And what will it mean? Turning full heel, which is a very hard thing to say.
You're right.
Like, is, and I think it's got to be something small. Like, if Roman can't take it and, like, hits Undertaker with the bell or something.
Right.
One, I don't want to see Taker go down that way.
Yeah.
I want to see Taker bested by a guy in a clean fight.
You're right.
Now, breaking the streak just about turned Brock face.
Yeah.
But you look at Brock's heel to face turn. He came back as a heel.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of that had to do with Heyman coming out and, you know, laying into
I think so much of it was he's supposed to be this heel, but he doesn't cheat. He doesn't say mean things about people.
He's just really super good at his job, which is wrestling.
There's
nothing there for me to boo.
I would say his juxtaposition up against Roman Reigns the year later is what really kind of made him turn into a face. You know what I mean?
Because he broke the streak, and then the next thing he did was destroy Cena. And there's no way he wasn't a face doing that.
Fair enough. True. But anytime they needed to get boos, what did Heyman do? He would bring up the fact that he broke the streak.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how he got boos.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say the streak almost made him a face. I don't feel like he came close with that.
I think the thing that turned him face was he didn't cheat. He didn't belittle people. He was good at his job.
Oh, yeah. Like, absolutely. Like, he got the reaction he did the day after WrestleMania 31 was because they knew he was angry and he's going to lay waste to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he was looking to demolish Seth, who was a pretty big heel at the time.
Right. And so, but why I bring up his streak thing is because he beat the streak clean.
Sure.
He was the better wrestler at the moment, at the mm-hmm. time, in that ring on that day.
Sure.
And he broke the streak. And so Roman, I think, needs to, if he's going to retire The Undertaker, needs to be the better wrestler at the better time
mm-hmm.
on that day, on that night. So I don't want him.
I feel like it would be, I feel like you could still get that, but have Roman be like merciless about it.
And that's what I think it needs to be.
Like,
I think take it one step too far, throw one extra unnecessary punch.
Not quite to this level, but along the same lines of Payback, Del Rio, Ziggler, where Del Rio kept doing those headshots, every mm-hmm. single those kicks to the head. Not quite to those levels, but to the point where like it's obvious to everyone that Roman has this guy beat, and yet he hits him with one more spear.
I don't have the actions for the example,
mm-hmm.
but you remember Shawn Michaels retiring Ric Flair?
Oh, sure.
And the I'm sorry, I love you.
Yeah.
I need the emotional opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like all of the respect mm-hmm. and the sorrow and the gratitude and the everything that went into that final super kick.
I already know what it's going to be.
What?
He stands him up in the corner mm-hmm. because he's got to be standing to take a spear. Stands him up and he says, "It's my yard, dead man."
Yeah, I could see that.
It's going to feel gross
because mm-hmm.
it already does feel gross every time he talks about how it's his yard now because he's the big dog or whatever.
Like, you know what?
Also, with that giant ring or that giant ramp,
mm-hmm.
I feel like just out of sake for, you know, all of our time, bring back Biker Taker just so we can make it down that ramp in a decent amount of time.
God,
that ramp looks ridiculous.
I hope this isn't an uncomfortable match to watch, and I'm so scared it will be.
I have a feeling
because
it will be.
Like, in all honesty, like in 31, 32, Taker wasn't top Taker, but he wasn't a disaster.
No.
And like at 31, Bray Wyatt broke his foot like at the rehearsal match the night before or something, or he injured his foot.
Was it?
Yeah, there was something about like Bray Wyatt
was
not going to be able to wrestle the match.
Right. Yeah.
And so they like, there was some very gingerness going on there. It's like, okay, but that's fine. And then like he fought Shane, and so I was like, well, that's just going to be a bit of a cluster no matter what.
Sure.
But
it was very slow.
It was slow, but he was fine and he was clean. He didn't look like he struggled the way he looked like he struggled at the Rumble.
No, yeah, you're right. This year. Absolutely.
So I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, but we're both saying Roman's going to win.
Yeah, I'm picking Roman.
And that brings us to our main event, which is going to end the show, you guys. Like, everyone's like, oh, no, this should end the show. This is going to end the show. Well, no, I skipped one. I take that back. Never mind. Right. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship. I got Randy winning.
I got Randy winning.
And I'm not thrilled about it.
Yeah, I'm like,
because at first I was like, if there was ever a feud or if there was ever a moment where Bray Wyatt would actually win a WrestleMania match, it would be this one. And the more this has gone on, they're going to give this to Randy.
I just don't know where you go from there. Like, I guess Bray gets his rematch at the next pay-per-view, but like,
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there like, I guess a AJ lot of people were next, saying, so a get lot it of back people, on AJ.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying like Eric Rowan has been ready. And a lot of people are like, oh, he's going to make an appearance at SmackDown. And he didn't make an appearance. I mean, there's always that. So honestly, that's the only thing that I'm kind of on the fence about.
Yeah.
Is he comes out, causes Randy to lose.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm picking Randy. I just... and it's...
I'm picking Randy, but I haven't convinced myself yet, so I might still pick might Bray
by the end.
Whenever we actually send in picks to the Trash Heap Boys.
Part of the issue is I'm sitting here like, I could have watched Dean and AJ six more times.
Sure.
Like, that would have been...
But we were done with Bray and Randy months ago.
When Randy won the Rumble.
Yeah. You're right. Like, because they've already had a full, like a fully realized feud.
Mm-hmm.
A fully developed feud. And then they joined together, and now we're getting another feud out of the two of them.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, well, by that aspect, if they're like, all right, well, this is going to be the end of it, then Bray's winning because, you know, you want him to move on to something else and
right. just
end this feud, for Lord's sakes. But I don't know. For right now, I'm going to say Randy, but I'm not totally convinced just yet.
Okay.
That one's still weighing on me. The rest, all the other matches I feel like are pretty well
set in stone. Yeah.
And that leads me to Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship. I've got Brock winning.
I'm going to say Goldberg.
Why? God.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I can't win.
Fair enough. And we've pretty much picked the same thing the entire
Yeah, and it's like, and this is why I was like, I know we won't pick the same thing. There's no way, like, no signs point to it. There's no reasonable explanation why Goldberg would win. The only thing is Goldberg's undefeated in one-on-one matches.
Right.
Goldberg has to be aware of that.
Sure.
Goldberg wants to be a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, he might... that he if he had a stipulation, and if he had that stipulation, they would honor that.
Sure.
Maybe.
But I've got Brock winning.
Brock winning is the smart way to go. If I was in your shoes, yeah. I would put down Brock.
Yeah.
Do you think it goes on last?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think it goes on last if this is Undertaker's last WrestleMania?
Yep.
Really? You don't think Undertaker closing out his WrestleMania career ends the show?
No. If they had announced ahead of time that, you know, it's going to be like a retirement match,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he loses, then they would put it at the end.
Okay.
The fact that they didn't announce it ahead of time means they probably aren't even aware. Like, they're probably not even sure themselves.
Okay.
I feel like that is still very much up in the air. And Vince just sees dollar signs with Goldberg and Brock, so
he needs to put it on before everybody goes to bed.
Well, I mean, he will. Like, literally 5 minutes before they go to bed, because it's probably as long as this match is going to last. I feel safe in saying that we will not get a repeat of an hour-long main event.
No, we will not.
No.
Over under 5 minutes, seriously. What do you think?
I think over 5 minutes, around maybe 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
we'll get a back and forth, I guess, but then ultimately Brock is just going to annihilate, and then end of show.
All right, and then one part timer to another.
One more time listening to that awful Pitbull song, which is why I feel, and you know how the biggest similarity I have with me in that song is whenever that song plays, I'm ready to go. So that's pretty much everything going on with WrestleMania.
All right.
We will come back and give you all of our thoughts about WrestleMania. We might break it up into two, because we did that last year. We might break it up into two. We might not. We still haven't quite decided yet. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
We got a whole lot of wrestling ahead of us. You do too.
Strap in. Everyone in, like, enjoy it.
Enjoy the weekend.
Try not to be too smarky. Watch it with some friends. If you don't have any friends, make fun of us on Twitter, because we'll be on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, so we will be your viewing party via Twitter, which we will plug,
which
in
leads
two,
nicely
one.
Into, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet this Saturday, this Sunday, this Monday, this Tuesday. It's going to be a lot of live tweeting because there's going to be nonstop wrestling.
Which means Chris is going to have to do it. if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, if you want to go ahead and just give us all of your WrestleMania thoughts or your takeover thoughts as it happens, send that over to our email, and that's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 Ultimate Thrill Rides.
Or you could write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, drop us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.